Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Drive on KFH.
Welcome back. Hour number two. The Drive with Bob and Jeff here on KFH Radio. Shockers at Cincinnati coming up Sunday. A couple of big games in the Big 12 tomorrow, especially Iowa State at K-State and West Virginia on the road to play in Lawrence against KU. Both of those games start at 3 o'clock. Does K-State beat Iowa State?
That's a home
game? They got to. Yes, it is.
Probably.
They beat them on the road.
That's true.
But yeah. Iowa State's dangerous.
They're always dangerous. They've been one of those teams all year.
Here's Scott Springer from the Cincinnati Inquirer. Hey, Scott.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, we got to ask you, are you related to Jerry?
I am not, but I do know him, and I met him because he was in town, and I did radio like you guys for about 25 years, so at one point he was doing a show out of where I worked in Cincinnati, and then I saw him a couple of times in Sarasota, where I think he lives now, so he normally apologizes because everyone has always thought that he was my dad, and I, number one, he's not old enough to be my dad, because it's not like I'm young, but yeah, interesting dude. I mean, if you know the history of the guy, it's somewhat of a checkered past and success and along the way.
Well, we got to ask you about this game coming up on Sunday. Certainly Wichita State's a team that did not get off to a good start in the American Athletic, but they've won four in a row. But in the three games that Wichita State and Cincinnati have competed in the last couple of years, all have been very interesting, very combative, very competitive. To us here in Wichita, and of course going back to the old days when Wichita State and Cincinnati were foes in the Missouri Valley Conference, this is and can be a very good rivalry. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I'm old enough to remember those games. I don't remember Oscar Robertson playing. The first time I saw him was with the Cincinnati Royals, like 1968, so his college career was over. But I followed Cincinnati as a kid, and remember all the Drakes and the Wichita States and Tulsas and the Missouri Valley Conference. So yeah, those are all pretty good rivalries, and this certainly has the makings of that. The last three, the road teams won each time, and that's kind of odd. And they've been fairly tight games. The last game in Wichita obviously took a turn after the technical fouls, but before that, it was fairly tight.
You wrote a piece, Scott, on Jerron Cumberland, whether he could play in the NBA, what his pro prospects are. Wichita's kind of having the same conversation around Marcus McDuffie, and those two players are pretty similar statistically, at least this season. So what was your conclusion on Cumberland, and how much insight maybe does that give in to McDuffie as well?
Well, I would say with both of them, if you're not on that list, it's kind of a tough way to go. Now, Gary Clark last year did not get drafted, made the Houston Rockets as a free agent, but he's now, back and forth from the G League to Houston. He's had some success, but if you're not drafted, that's not guaranteed money, and that's tough. And I've always been a fan of the four-year player. I mean, let's say your basketball career doesn't work out. If you kept your nose clean in the city, you can get a job, and people are going to like you and know you forever. So I'm all for guys staying. Now, in terms of Cumberland, seemingly the people I talk to, the knock on him in terms of the pros is the NBA kind of looks at, like, above-the-rim, high-flying type of guys. That's not necessarily his game. Jacob Evans from last year, that was his game. He could, was a little bit taller and flew in the air and could do a lot of things. And I don't want to say that Jerron Cumberland is not an athlete, because I take him on my team every day of the week. He's just a guy that comes out and scores and finds ways to beat you. And I got to cover him in high school, and he's always been the same player. He looks like he's having a bad game, and then he goes on a spurt, and he really helps you out. And what would your team be without him? Same with you guys and McDuffie. McDuffie's pretty solid and pretty consistent, but they don't want to listen to my old man advice, but I would tell them both, you know, stick around another year and see what happens. And, you know, be a legend. You know, why be a legend where you're at rather than a nobody and somewhere in the G League?
Yeah, Cumberland is the heart and soul of this team, and that doesn't certainly indicate that they don't have a lot of other good players. But this guy, I thought his performance in Wichita, and you're right, it's not that he even has to play extremely well to have a real impact on the game. I thought he was kind of responsible for getting the technical foul on Eric Stevenson, and then that was followed up by the technical foul on Greg Marshall that really changed that game. He's just got a way about him.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys that, and I'm sure Wichita State fans do not like him. I understand that. You would take him on your team. I tell people here with football and, you know, Cincinnati people hate the Steelers. And I'd always say, no, who on the Steelers would you not want on the Bengals or the Chiefs or whoever? You know, you hate the guy that's beating you. He's not really a major – he doesn't talk much. I mean, heck, it's tough to get an interview with a guy. He doesn't always want to talk. Usually the front-running guy in Cincinnati, you usually talk to each week. You know, Sean Kilpatrick back in the day and whoever. Cumberland is like pulling teeth to get him to talk to the media. When he does, he's okay. It's just not his cup of tea. He's a little bit shy and backward with that, but he's all business on the court, that's for sure.
Scott Springer with us from the Cincinnati Inquirer. He covers the Bearcats.
Justin Jennifer, he's a guy, he's a senior, a guy who hadn't had much of a career leading up to this year, looked fantastic for Cincinnati in the game against Wichita. What kind of a breakout has he had this year? I know he's been kind of inconsistent, but how few and far between have those type of performances been from him?
He's usually been consistent. Now, again, not much playing time, like 13 minutes, I'm thinking, and didn't score. And you need him to score, even if it's just 8 or 9 points. You need the point. His shooting has been remarkably well. I think he's leading the conference in three-point percentage at like 449 or something. So, and that's a lot better than where he was before. The other guy, Kane Broom, another left-handed kid off the bench, he has more scoring talent, not as consistent a shooter from three-point range. Now, he will hit a big shot every now and then, but his percentages are not what Jennifer's are. And then the best thing Jennifer does is he really doesn't turn the ball over much, and he is a senior, and he's been with Mick this, you know, 4 years running now. And so pretty reliable guy. For Cincinnati to succeed in the long run, they need Jennifer to hit shots. They need Broom to hit shots. They need Keith Williams to hit shots. And then that frees up Cumberland a little bit, because when you get into a situation like it was in Houston where it's kind of one-dimensional Jaren, then you're in trouble.
Talking with Scott Springer, the Cincinnati Inquirer, Wichita State, the Bearcats, Sunday at noon. You know, when Wichita State joined the American, and this is the second year that they've been in this conference, we talked to a lot of beat reporters who indicated that their particular teams that they cover, the schools, weren't all that thrilled about the American, that they felt like they'd like to maybe get into a Power Five. It seems to me, though, as someone relatively new to this conference, that it's pretty good right now, and that it has really strong upside. Are people starting to get with the American a little more around the American, in your opinion?
I think they should. I think it's better than they think. You know, most of the prognosticators will talk about the American and how well the basketball is. The football side of it was really good. I think there were a lot of good teams football-wise in there. And, you know, Oresco, the commissioner, has ESPN ties. You know, hopefully it works out into something. I think initially it was a little disappointing for someone like a Cincinnati, because they had some aspirations of getting into the Big 12 when all that was going on, and it just didn't happen. So they're in the American, and you know, it's better than people think. It's, you know, you come tournament time, we'll see how many tournament teams that they get, but I mean, there's a lot of teams that I don't think you'd want to play. And then in any game on the road in the league, as Cincinnati found out by going to Sneaking East Carolina, I still can't figure out how that happened.
That one makes no sense.
Yeah. I mean, I'm watching Connecticut and Houston last night, and UConn's in that game minus Jalen Adams, and they're, Connecticut's in that game, you know, for at least a half. So you never know when you're on the road. I mean, Tulsa was a tough one for Cincinnati. Wichita State was a tough one. They came from behind. They're down 13 at Temple, come from behind and win that. Down, I think it was 11 at Memphis. Memphis's only previous home loss was the number one Tennessee. This team has found ways to pull games out. What happened at East Carolina is beyond me, but the rest of the season they've been somewhat consistent. Not necessarily pretty, but the results are there.
Yeah, and I think it's an outstanding league, and certainly Cincinnati is one of the in my opinion marquee name. What makes Mick Cronin so successful? What does he have that allows him to make this that Cincinnati's a perennial contending team and an NCAA tournament team?
Well, he's always been a hardworking guy. I mean, to get to where he was, he literally had a job as a junior high coach and then got on with Huggins as a video assistant. And next thing you know, he recruited so well, and he had some Adidas ties back in the day. And he made his way onto the staff. And then he went with Rick Pitino. And at the time, that didn't sit well with the Cincinnati fans because, you know, Louisville was kind of an arch enemy in the same conference. But if you look at what he did, he got experience under Bob Huggins. He got experience under Rick Pitino. And those guys, I mean, gee whiz, what's 1,500 wins between them or something crazy? So he's found two pretty good mentors, different types of coaches. And he just works hard. He goes out and gets decent kids. And they've, for the most part, kept their nose clean and not had any issues. And I'm not sure other than that, but obviously he's doing a pretty good job. And you know, your guy's pretty good too. Marshall, obviously, what a consistent record he's had. And that's all you ever hear from Mick about Wichita State is, well, they're only going to get better because, you know, his track record says so. The numbers don't lie most of the time.
Well, we appreciate talking with you. Thanks for giving us your insights on Cincinnati. Shockers in Cincinnati this weekend to play Sunday at noon. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot.
All right. Scott Springer from the Cincinnati Inquirer. How about this setup for the American, potentially? March 10th, Sunday afternoon, Houston at Cincinnati. That could be for all the marbles.
Could be, but I don't think it will be.
What?
Houston probably won't lose another game in the conference, if I had to guess.
Well, UConn had them right in that game last night.
Right, but good teams find a way to win those type of games, and Houston is that team in this conference. I'm not downplaying Cincinnati. If they were anybody other than Cincinnati, I might even like them, but I don't like them.
Why don't you like Cincinnati?
I just don't like them. I don't know. Maybe it's that provincial thinking.
That's because they're a rival.
Yeah, but I'm not that big of a Wichita State basketball fan.
I thought you were.
But I really don't like Cincinnati.
I thought you were a big
fan. I can't be.
Well, you used to be.
I analyze them. I watch them
from a critical fan. What happened?
I've just told you what happened. Why do you analyze them? Because I'm on the post-game show.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I talk about them here. And plus, they're like 20. I mean, at some point, you can kind of grow out of that.
So a fan of a team that's... When do you grow out of being a Cleveland fan?
You don't. Those are pros.
That's the most ridiculous statement I think I've ever heard.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Are you a fan of Derby High? I mean, can you name all their players?
Wouldn't that
be weird if you were?
I'm a fan of Derby. I grew up there.
Right, but name one of their players on their
Bill
team.
Bill Johnson.
If you followed them every day and were like, oh, man, I can't wait till we get Salina South again.
Chip
England. That'd be weird.
I don't know. I don't know who they play, but I'm a fan.
Right, but in passing.
I'm a fan of Derby.
Of course.
Okay, do you understand that?
And I'm a fan of North High, but it's not like I'm up on a daily basis.
Chip is our guest now. Chip, what's up?
I don't know what to say. You know, he does.
What do he say now?
He just says things that just don't make any sense.
What?
What you just said about I grew out of being a fan. Pros are different. You're a fan. You don't have to know all the teams. It says, okay, they're playing that bit.
I guess, but when you're 53, do you want to be like your emotions riding on a 19-year-old kid? I mean,
of course
that seems weird to me.
Why?
Because it just, I don't know, it just seems weird.
So when Francisco Lindor was 21.
But he played for the Indians. He's a professional. He's
so you can't be a fan of a college team.
I'm not saying
that's
that.
That's weird.
It just kind of seems weird.
That's weird.
It is weird, and I'm sure many people will call in today and tell you that. I just got one quick take on Bryce Harper. We don't know where he's going to go, but I want to give you some numbers. Over the last four years, 15 through 18, here are his numbers. When it comes to games, he averages 143, 100 runs this season, 141 hits, 32 homers, 93 RBIs, and his batting average is .285. I'm going to give you another set of numbers for those last 4 years. 157 games, 105 runs, 173 hits, 35 homers, 102 RBIs, and a .301 batting average.
Who's that? Who's the second one?
Yeah, who is that?
Oh, you're asking me.
Yes.
Jose Cruz or Nelson Cruz. I don't know.
No. He's going to play first base for the Cardinals.
Paul Goldschmidt. Well, Paul Goldschmidt's a better hitter than Bryce Harper.
Oh, well, it looks like he's better about every category over the last 4 years. And what does Bryce Harper want? $1 million a game, for crying out loud. I think we made a better deal here, don't you think, Bob?
I like the deal. But I wouldn't be crying much if they signed Bryce Harper either.
Well, all right, we take that. All right, guys, have a good week.
Thanks, Chip. Here's Jim. Jim, hello.
Yeah, I got a question for you, Bob. Because you're on the inside on any deal, and you remember everything. I don't know how we ever got into West Virginia in the Big 12, but what in the heck was wrong with having Cincinnati rather than West Virginia, other than they couldn't stand 11 teams in a league?
Well, I thought Cincinnati and West Virginia might be the coupling that came into the Big 12, actually. That would be a natural geographical fit. West Virginia's never made sense in the Big 12. But there are things geographically in almost every conference that don't make
sense. Cincinnati would make geographical sense more so than West Virginia.
Barely.
If you're flying in an airplane, West Virginia don't make any sense.
Thanks, Jim. I mean, Cincinnati and Louisville would have made great sense in the Big 12. Sure. I guess. Geographically, it's all kind of whacked.
Didn't they play in Conference USA together for a little bit, at least?
Yes, they did. Well, they were both in the Valley back in the day.
Yeah, a long time ago, when planes weren't even invented yet.
You couldn't sound more ill-educated. I mean, really.
It's really?
This shines a light on me. People wonder...
Where
I sent you to school.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. This comes back to me.
At 36, I am not a reflection on you. So you're in the clear.
It comes back to me all the time.
No, it doesn't.
People ask me all the time, did Jeff skip school a lot? Because of some of the things you say on here.
Do you tell him yeah?
Well, you didn't care about school, and it shows.
I like to learn. I don't like to be taught.
That's the most ridiculous thing. Let's start keeping a list of ridiculous things Jeff says. Okay, I'm asking you for another. I know I'm, but write that one down.
I kind of do like to be taught now, but I didn't back in the day.
But to say that you can't be a college sports fan after a certain age.
I'm not. That's just how I feel personally. Like, am I gonna be 45 and
they're representing your university
and hanging on what?
So all I hear you saying right now is you're throwing out insults to a guy like Paul Sullentrop, who's a big Benedictine fan because that's where he went to college. You're certainly slapping.
Yeah, but I doubt
you're certainly slapping our friend Scott Pask in the face.
No,
because he's a huge K-State fan.
And that's good. If that works for him, that's wonderful.
But it's a slap in his
face.
But
for me personally, if I get to be 45 and we got this 3-star recruit coming in for a visit, I think for me that would be bizarre. I would question myself. I'm not questioning anybody else. For me, that would be strange.
But it's okay to be okay with a pro team of 20-year-olds.
There are very few 20-year-olds in Major League Baseball.
23-year-old. What's the line? What's the line that you don't feel uncomfortable? So a pro.
A major leaguer.
So
NBA, NFL.
You're not a fan of a Cleveland Indian farmhand who's at Class A.
Not really. I'd like for him to produce when he gets to the big leagues, but I'm not an Akron Rubber Ducks fan.
Strange. Back in a minute. We do have a guest coming up for five questions. Her name is Jillian Carroll. She will begin hosting KSN's morning show coming up on Monday. But her first appearance here will be on our show at 5:40. Back in a minute. Stay with us.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.